And part of getting this whole positioning you to be the best you can be in 2016, also in life, because I don't, you know, everything we teach and train really has to do with life choices we make and directions that you can apply in every aspect of your life. It's not just limited to your Manatech business, but we key in on how to best make great choices for your Manatech business on these calls. But the idea is that you want to lay a foundation. You want to make sure that you're kicking off in the right way, because a lot of people just live their life day in and day out and day in and day out. I see them everywhere. I see them, you know, I can talk about my church people who I'm so close to, my partners in Manatech, they just kind of go with the flow. They just, you know, and I can say I spent years in my life where I kind of went with the flow, but I kind of had a master plan behind it all. And of course that master plan I tweak, and I know one thing that I did that caused me to be so effective and be able to grow so fast in my Manatech business was the fact that I was so busy doing the business that I would check in with myself from time to time, but definitely at the end of every year I would sit down and I would evaluate. I'd evaluate every single activity that I was involved in the prior year, look at what I want to be committed to in the next year, what am I going to be doing differently to be more effective, because if you keep doing the same thing over and over again, you're going to continue to get the same results. Does that make sense to everybody? That's a truth. And so the idea is that how do we reshape ourselves? How do we reform ourselves? How do we become better? How do we step into greater leadership? It's why we read the books we read, you know, Leadership Revolution. We read that book because we're looking at all the different levels of leadership that we want to develop. Well, that's true about every part of our Manatech business. What, you know, evaluating what we did in the past year, and it's not from a perspective of beating up on ourselves. It's from a perspective of how can I be better? Because if you keep doing the same thing over and over again and you're not getting any results, you're not going to get any results 6 months from now either. You want to tweak, do things better. It's one of the reasons we have these Saturday trainings that we do every month here in Dallas, so that we can broadcast those live to you in the field so you can really hone in on your four core skills. Because if you don't have those down yet, and as I tell people, I say, if you're not a professional at the four core skills, take time off to become professional. Take time off until you feel so confident and comfortable with them, you got them down pat. Because unless you get those four core skills down, you're going to stumble, and you're going to conclude, well, this doesn't work. Oh, this business doesn't work, blah, 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 blah. It's not the business that doesn't work. We always have to remember that this model has made more millionaires than any other business model out there. So it works. And you can sit back and you could be one of those whiners and complainers that say, well, it worked for you because blah, 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 blah. And I always love that when people say, well, Mary Jo, it worked for you because, you know, look at how bright you are and you're a lawyer. And I go, oh, my gosh. I had to overcome so much adversity from my legal background, it wasn't even funny. I had, you know, a brick wall 100 feet tall around me from getting to success in network marketing. And it was clear if I didn't change, I was never going to be successful in network marketing. And that's true about how I look at myself even today. If I want to hit platinum presidential, I need to change. I need to change. I'm the variable in this business, just like you are. Every single one of us is the variable. Everything else is fixed. The products are terrific. The company's terrific. The comp plan works. All these things work. We're the variable. So how do we create greater results in our business is how we work on that variable, which is us, right? So let's talk about today. We're focus on just basically laying foundation for 2016 and beyond. And similar to last year, I did three closing sessions, and I'm going to do similar this year. I just tweak them every year to just add a little more emphasis or you know, touching you in different places. But each year, the December is dedicated to laying the foundation for the next upcoming year. So when we talk about basics, what are we talking about? One of the real core basics to everything that we do. One of the core basics to everything that we do is something that we call the beliefs, you know, our belief system. And our core beliefs are around four basics that we talk about. We talk about belief in ourselves, because if you don't believe in yourself, you're not going to go anywhere. And that is probably the biggest issue that I see out there is people, they just don't believe in themselves. And what causes us to lose belief in ourselves? Our past. We start digging into our past. We allow our past to control our future. And then it's inevitable that you won't create anything because you're giving up. You're choosing to give up on yourself. You're choosing to make your past control your future. When in reality, our past is just, you know, the history of our life. It's just events that have happened, things that have done, things we've done, and we got to get over it. It's like, get over it. Learn from it, because your past doesn't ever have to control your future unless you choose it. If you choose it to, then you are accomplishing the result you're choosing. But for me, I can always look at things I've done in my past. Each one of us have things that we're not proud of in our past. No one's led the perfect life, right? So you look at those things, but why are we allowing those to limit us going forward? Even people in personality, people that tell me that they're shy, and I go, well, that's part of your past because you chose it. Let's choose out of it. And they look at me like, what, are you crazy? And I go, no. And I help people. Because shy is just a tag that people put on themselves, or somebody else put on you when you were 3 years old. They said you were shy, and all of a sudden you bought into it, and your psychology developed, and now you can choose out of it, just like you chose into it or allowed yourself to be labeled. Get labels off. Release yourself of labels. Maybe that's an exercise you need to do, is just look at who I am and what have I, how have people labeled me? And start writing down how other people perceive you. And if you don't know what that is, go out and solicit some feedback from people, friends, relatives, acquaintances, and find out how people have labeled you. And then evaluate that and say, is that who I want to be? Because that was a very powerful exercise I did, like in a feedback arc, when people gave me some feedback that was so ridiculous, it was so far from truth, but feedback isn't necessarily truth. It's just how people are perceiving you because of how you're coming across. And what does that mean? It means we need to shift in us. But that's a step that you can take. But your belief system in yourself, some of you are sitting back and you're going, well, Mary Jo, you can make it in Manitech, but I can't, or I'm not enough. You know, you have this I'm not enough thing, which is the biggest lie you're telling yourself. If there's one thing you got to get really clear in your life is that you are enough. You're created in greatness, and you're enough. That doesn't mean you stop self-development, you stop growing, you stop reading books. I read books every day. I'm in some book reading something. I'm always listening to seminars. I'm listening to tapes. It's an investment in Mary Jo. I invest in myself every day because you know why? Because I'm the most critical factor in any success in my life. So I invest in that. I continue to develop and invest in it. And I'll be doing this when I'm 61 now. I'll be doing it when I'm 81, when I'm 101. If God has me on earth that length of time, I will always be investing in me. Because I know I have unlimited capacity. You know, you remember the story about how much brain capacity we use? Like less than 10% of our brain capacity we use in our lifetime. And so why wouldn't I want to tap into 15 or 20? Can you imagine doing that? Why not make that effort and energy to do that? We constrain, put our own constraints on ourselves. So you are enough. Believe in yourself. Believe in your capacity. And how do we increase our capacity to do things? Is we do trainings, we develop skill sets, just as we say the four core skills are so crucial. So number one is belief in you. Number two is belief in the products. Where's your foundational belief in our products? Most people, when I do a belief scale, and by the way, I've attached a self-scoring belief scale to this outline today, so you'll have one. I've used this in my business for years. I mean, it dates back to, I believe, before I was even a presidential director, which is in my first year and a half in Manitech. I think that's when I first came across this chart. And it was terrific because it gives you a perspective of where you are falling off the list. What do I need to work on? If you don't isolate that, you're just going to keep on your meandering journey. When you want to be something more of a meaningful specific, you need to get specific about what needs to be attacked? What do I need to be working on? So take that self-scoring belief scale, but one of them is belief in yourself, the other one is belief in the products, and whenever I gave this self-scoring belief scale, the product one category typically was always off the charts. People didn't have a problem believing in a product because they're so scientifically validated. Everybody and everything out there is talking about glyconutrients. In fact, I love to talk about the health minister in Canada. Her name is Rona Ambrose. No kidding, A-M-B-R-O-S-E, Rona Ambrose, and she set aside almost $30 million for a glycomics institute so that they could pursue glycobiology, glyconutrient technology in terms of health remedies. Isn't that great? I mean, that was an announcement that came out this year. But every year we have more and more announcements. More greatness comes out about the products, our glyconutrient technology. It's awesome what we have in terms of a product line. So we can be very proud of that. The company, what's your belief around the company? Manatech as a company. And that includes looking at who the officers are, who's running the company, what do we have on staff, who's, you know, all the things that they're doing, the blessing that they are, the M5M program is part of the company, right? All of this is our foundation. All of this is part of the company. So we look at that whole package and say, what's our belief in the company? And then the business model, network marketing. What's our belief in network marketing? And this is where a lot of people fall off. I talk to people and they look and they, oh, blah, 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 that's just a scam, you know, and I just go, what are you talking about? I mean, it's phenomenal. People talk about the inadequacies. In fact, we got some of that even with Ben Carson. Network marketing, again, got attacked. Manatech got attacked. But in some of those articles out there, they attacked network marketing. They called it a deficient business model. And I laugh at that because I go, deficient? It's so economical. It's, you know, why are so many of the Fortune 500 companies taking after and going after network marketing as a concept, as a principle in getting marketing their products? Because it gets rid of so much of the middlemen. And you look at what's happening today and you look at things like Amazon, the number one, you know, retailer in the world today manufactures nothing. Amazon. There's more merchandise sold through Amazon than any other vehicle, and they don't make a darn thing. Isn't that amazing? So look at how our economy has shifted so much to get out of that. And what we've done in network marketing is a shift in that economic structure by getting rid of all the middlemen, and it's up to you and I. And we're just commissioned people, and we make commissions off of what we do, and as well as recruiting other people. And it's an endless process that is tremendously effective. And there wouldn't be so many thriving network marketing companies. There wouldn't be more millionaires out there made from network marketing than any other model if this business model didn't work. But all of these are categories that you need to evaluate yourself. So take that self-scoring belief scale and figure out for you, what is the category? What do I need to work on? And then if you can't figure out for yourself how to attack that and how to help build your belief, whether it's in yourself or it's in the products, whatever it is, go to your upline, go to Crossline, talk to some people, and get some good advice. Get some feedback of what tools, what books, what literature, what tapes do you need to be listening to, whatever it is, because there's plenty of material out there to support you to become the best you can become. I love Jim Rohn's quote, your personal philosophy is the greatest determining factor in how your life works out, right? And it's that statement. It's our personal philosophy. How do we shift? How do we do a discovery of what our personal philosophy is? And that's why we choose to promote self-development in so many ways. Of course, I was heavily involved in Clemmer work. In fact, I have a number of my associates going out to the advanced class this week. And it's so exciting to still be a part of that process because it truly helps transform people's lives, right? It transforms people's lives. So because we want people to get over what they're stuck on. You know, we get stuck in scarcity mentality and we have belief systems that aren't serving us. But if we don't even know what they are, it's hard. We need to be on a path of discovery of what those are. And that's so much what the Clemmer work is. And many other institutions out there do this kind of work as well. But I've found their work to be so very effective. That's why I support it. But the idea is there's scarcity mentalities. I'll give you an example. We're having a church Christmas presentation is coming up, and I've been practicing for that. In fact, it's the reason I'm not going to be at Lambeau Field on this coming Sunday to watch the Cowboys. Yikes! I was scheduled to do that. We had tickets and everything going with my niece and nephew, and our church it turned out that our church recital, that our church Christmas performance that we're doing is on the exact same day, Sunday, this coming Sunday. So I had to sell my tickets, So anyway, I'm not going to be freezing in the frozen tundra of Green Bay, Wisconsin. But the idea is that we're putting on this performance. Now, why did I bring all that up? Well, this year the church decided to charge $5 a ticket for the Christmas performance. You can't even imagine the number of people in our church that were walking at $5. I looked around, you know, and my music minister is going, Mary Jo, this is crazy. And I said, no, Ricky, it's not crazy. It's called scarcity mentality. Instead of looking at $5 as, oh my gosh, you know what, these performances are worth hundreds of dollars. We're so fortunate to be able to make a contribution to the church for all the time and energy and all the, you know, the expenses that go into a Christmas performance to pay $5, right? But they can't think that way. I mean, I shouldn't say capacity. They have the capacity to, but they don't know they have the capacity because they're living in scarcity mentality. And those are just examples of limiting beliefs that just destroy your life. And until you overcome those, you're stuck. You're stuck. So you got to work on self, right? We want to work on self. And that's exactly what Jim Rohn's saying. It's why self-development is so important to us. We need to look at all those kind of things. We need to invest in time and energy around reading great books, you know, feeding yourself, you know, the concept of your belief being so critical to how you create your future. Think and Grow Rich, Magic of Believing. Try the Bible. That's got tremendous about belief. 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. I could give you 20 books just around the concept of belief that's built around the word belief and how it controls your life. So your belief system is something, we call it the basics, because if you get that wrong, nothing else is going to fall in place for you. It's wrong. It's not going to serve you. You're stuck. You're going to end up being stuck. If you live in scarcity, which so many people in this country do, you're going to end up staying stuck. Because there is no such thing as scarcity. In fact, I think I've talked to you about this on the Monday calls before. But, you know, I grew up in an environment where my parents told me money doesn't grow on trees, get a good job, go work hard. And they did it with a purpose. They did. They grew up in the Depression area. They did it with a purpose. And the purpose was what? They wanted me to work really hard, go to college, get so I could get a good job, I could take care of myself. That was their whole directive behind that. But the reality is that what it did is it set up the possibility for people in my family, and two out of the four ended up with this, is a concept of a negative relationship with money. Like money is scarce. It doesn't grow on trees. Money doesn't grow on trees. So, you know, looking at that and saying, oh my gosh, what a terrible meme or mental image that you're putting in somebody's head and developing for them. I mean, it's not a foundational principle I want any of my grandkids to have. So my grandkids, being around grandma, they call me the fun grandmother. That's me. I'm the fun grandmother, okay? But I teach them that money grows on trees. Money grows on trees. It's everywhere. You just need to figure out how to pick it. And it gives them this sense of abundance. There's abundance everywhere in our life. If you don't believe it, just look at the multimillionaires. I see 21-year-olds today that are billionaires because they came up with some game or something on the computer or some new website and they sold out. You know, I mean, how about the guy who started Facebook, who just committed 99% of his shares, which is $43 billion or $95 billion, I don't know what it was, billions. The guy's a multi-billionaire, and he's just had his first baby. He's in his early 30s, late 20s, right? Why is this happening? Money's everywhere. It's just coming up with ways to create it. And Manitech's a great vehicle to create it. But if you come from scarcity, you're not going to believe that because you're living in a box. You've created a box. So beliefs, huge. So we got through that. Everybody clear on that. We want to make sure that we're fighting for it. We're fighting for, you know, making this the best we can. Making ourselves the best we can be so that we can truly overcome any shortcomings we're building for ourselves in our lives. the next three powers, we just add kind of the three powers in there as a basic, because if you're really going to move forward in our business, the idea of understanding powers that are going to support you, because you're working as a team. Whenever you work in network marketing, it's always teamwork that makes a difference. If you try to do it on your own, and I've seen people in Manatech do that, you know, people come out and they forge ahead and they create great organizations, and then in 2 years they're gone. Why? Because they didn't build a team. They didn't build it based on team, a sense of team, a group environment, a support, understanding leadership, being an inspiring leader. It was just about me. How do I get ahead? How do I achieve this goal? This is what I need to do, blah, blah, instead of looking at it as a group effort. So you want to look at, if you're working in a group effort and team, which is what makes the difference in network marketing in a huge way, the three basic powers are crucial. One is the power of unity, that we consider that unity is really crucial. We can look at this from a scriptural perspective. God blesses unity. The passage is on, if two or more of you are in agreement, it shall be done, you know, and that's where God's going to show up in our lives when we pray together, and that's why we do that together. And we look at, you know, powerful teams that, you know, if two people come together, they're more than two, they're three times as strong as one person, because you get that synergy effect, right? And a cord of three strands cannot easily be broken. These are great words that we hear from, you know, sayings that have been around our universe for years. And power, too. Power is simply organized and intelligently directed knowledge, right? But if there's only one person using it, the power can't be displayed. But when we get to a place of agreement, then that is a place of power. So a place of agreement is a place. So unity is so critical. And integrity as well. When you look at the word integrity, it's all about oneness. It's oneness of action and oneness of belief. Your beliefs, your values all come out in your action. No duplicity. You don't say one thing and do something else. That's duplicity or hypocrisy. So it's about unity, unity. Jim Rohn talks about masterminding. He talks about, you know, two or more people working together on a common cause, how we're in unity and masterminds. And if you've ever been part of a mastermind group, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So unity creates harmony. Harmony creates productivity. So it's critical for us to be in unity. And unity means that we work together. We don't, you know, some of our principles that we get out of Unity and the three-point plan are the concept that we don't go out there and try to do it our way. We simply duplicate a system that's proven and working and doing very well. We discard our ego. We leave it at the door. And every time we go into meetings, we want to be a part of what? A group effort and have unity and work together. We never pass negatives onto our downline, right? We always keep positive. That's part of the unity. And we fight for it at every opportunity. We're going to fight for unity. When we get to power of submission is a tough one. I know scripturally we all understand what Ephesians tells us about submission, right? The wife shall submit to their husband. Whoa, that's not a tough principle. But it's not about being a floor mat. It's about just making something work. It's how do you make things work? And God laid that foundation in Scripture so that a family environment works. When you have two heads in the family and no one has the ultimate authority, you're in trouble. Because when there's disagreement, there's no method of resolution. So it's not about women not expressing their opinion. It's not about women. It's about there's certain issues when it comes down, there's disagreement on certain issues. There's got to be a titular head. And that's kind of what we talk about is when we deal with the power of submission. We as an organization, I'm submissive to who? My upline, right? I'm submissive to the upline. I want to make sure that I don't cause dissension among the ranks. I want to be a servant leader. And it's not, submission is not passive, it's active, right? But we want to continue to submit to the products. Number one, we take the products every day. We submit to the system. We're not going to go out and use something different than the three-point plan. We submit to our upline. We edify them. You've seen edification in this company more than you've ever seen in the past, because edification is part of that whole power of submission. And then finally, the power of the spoken word. And this is very difficult. This is a very difficult concept for me because as a lawyer, I was a slasher, and you know, I could go after anybody, and my mouth was one of my most dangerous tools out there. And it's been a long process to get beyond that, to just understand that every word that comes out of my mouth is critically important, and I want to empower people and build people up, not tear them down, because the wounds that you lay out there with your words are wounds that sometimes don't heal for a month, 6 months, 6 years, whatever time period it takes. But it can be devastating on the organization, on the company. So the power of the spoken word. So we think, I call it think before you stink. That's kind of one of my phrases I use with children, but it works with adults as well. And we've learned this principle for years and years and years in our lives, right? I mean, remember as a little kid when you were taught, if you have nothing good to say, don't say anything at all. That was a classic phrase my parents used to use, right? And it's true. Our word, the power of our words, we use our words to create things, you know? And it has negative and positive impact. Words are like seeds we sow, so we want to make sure that the power of words positively in our lives and in other lives, that we build people up. We verbalize to build things, not to destroy things. And always think before you allow the words to come out of your mouth, because you want to make sure that you're saying the right things. You want to make sure that the things that you're saying are supportive, inspiring, come from a leadership position to make you the best leader you can be. So critical factors. So basics to work on: belief, the three powers. One of the things we're going to be talking about in next week is going to be the power of setting goals and putting in place the rocks of, you know, our directional, because in order to get somewhere, we have to have a direction of where we're going. Everybody agree? It's just like the same reason a sailboat has a rudder. If you don't put the rudder in the water, the sailboat will just, the wind will take it and blow you wherever you're going to go. And some of you feel that way about your Manatech business, that you kind of have no rudder in the water. It's just kind of been flowing crazy. Well, that's because you haven't set goals. And then because from the goal setting, then you can formulate a plan, right? So you need to have those goals set, and the goals are critical, absolutely critical. But people are out there that are renegades on goal setting, and I want to talk about this because it's going to hold you back, and it's self-destructive. People use things like I've heard words from people in my organization, well, they've never worked for me in the past. And I said, they have never worked for you. It's a funny thing. Why don't you work for your goals? The goals are directives. They give you a direction, and you work towards that direction. It gives you something to work on. It gives you a distinct time frame and a distinct, you know, goal, a distinct, you know, plan to get somewhere at a certain time period. I mean, they work for you if you work for them. So you choose anew around that instead of expecting that when midnight I set a goal, then that should happen. That's not the way it works. The goal plants it in your belief system, plants it in your mind. It makes it become a visualization for you. That's why we do dream boards and everything else, because it's so critical to have. You felt like you failed when you did not meet them in the past, so why should you do them again? Goals aren't about feeling failure. Goals are about, you know, work your butt off to get to that goal. If it doesn't happen, revise the goal, revamp the goal. Some of my people have had to do that over and over again. I did it on my way to presidential director in Manatech. I wanted to get to presidential my first year. I didn't get there. I almost quit doing Manatech because my upline had said, Mary Jo, you ought to be able to make presidential in your first year. But I had such a heart and passion helping everybody else. I was doing meetings for everybody that I met. I was flying out to the East Coast. I was crazy. But, you know, it's just part of who I was. Contribution was my number one core value, and I needed to be consistent with my number one core value as well. So, but I could have allowed that to destroy me and ruin my Manatech career, and I wouldn't be, I mean, 19 years ago, I would have quit. But I didn't. I overcame that, right? And I just said, okay, so I'll set new goals. And I did that. And so that's what you do. You just, you revamp, revise them, but they give you a directional. They give you a directional where you're going. And then you can build a plan around that directional. What is it going to take for me to get there? Build an action plan to reach that goal, and now you're set. Because the goal isn't an end in of itself. It's the beginning of setting a structure in place that'll get you where you want to go. And Andy Andrews says, don't lie to yourself. And some of you have read Andy Andrews' books. He has some great books out there. He's a great guy. Traveler's Gift is one of my favorites that he wrote. And he really says, you know, until a person takes responsibility for where they are, there's no moving forward. And that's a principle that also comes out of the book, Life is Art, because you can't create structural tension between where you are and where you want to go if you're not honest about where you are. Take responsibility. That doesn't mean blame. Responsible is able to respond. So take responsibility for where you are today, just like as you're sitting today listening to this call. Where am I in Manotick today? Take responsibility for it. Not blame, responsibility. Bingo. There's my number. That's where I am. In fact, Lydia and I wiped out one of my whole walls in my office. We got new office furniture. We're revamping the whole office, and we're putting a whiteboard, right? And it's going to be, where are we? And we're going to be definitive about where we are step by step, month by month, business period by business period, as we go through 2016. And it's going to be targeted groups of people, who's working, who's not, who are we supporting, really have clarity on and specific names of those people. So we're developing a whole strategy about how to take this business to the next level, because that's our goal. And we can't hit our goals unless we're working with those people who are working themselves, right? That's the whole concept. So it's about being true to self. Don't lie to yourself. Be true to yourself. And statistics, we know statistics. There are plenty of books out there talking about people, virtually every successful person that's ever written a book or put materials together and drafted things. So I say they started with written goals. And you have that Yale study that was done, whether it's truthful or not. They said something like that, you know, 20 years later, they went back to the Yale class and they said that only 3% of the people had written goals when they left, graduated from college. And those 3% were making more money than the other total of the 97% of the rest of the class, right? Pretty phenomenal statistic. So commit to it. Have written goals. Quit setting yourself up for unwanted results. And, you know, it's those little goals that make that cause you to build changes in your life. What am I going to change differently? What patterns of behavior am I going to change differently that are going to create better results in my life? We need to know that and recognize those things. What are the little things that I'm not doing that I need to be doing differently? Yeah. We want to do all those kind of things as well. And that's why we set up, you know, people talk about New Year's resolutions. I kind of laugh at those. You can put New Year's resolutions together, but lose weight, blah, blah, blah. I always put them in goals, set them in goals, and then say, what are my behavioral patterns that need to shift? And why is it that we shift behavioral patterns, but we don't create results? Because this is what happens. How many of you have read The Slight Edge by Jeff Olson? Or Compound Effect by Darren Hardy? If you haven't read those books, or if you had and you haven't reviewed them in the last couple of years, pull them off your bookshelf and read them again. And here's what both of those books tell you. It's the little changes in life that make massive changes in results. In other words, we as people, we don't mind, you know, looking at and saying, okay, I'm going to have to implement some changes. But we don't have the patience to stick with little changes, because the little changes over a long period of time are going to have terrific results in your life. It's that compound effect of a penny a day. Would you rather have $100,000 today or a penny a day and double that? A penny and double that every single day for 31 days. And the people who take the $100,000 lose out on millions of dollars, right? Because we know the impact of just a little bit every single day over and over and over again on a repetitive basis creates phenomenal results. It's how to restore your marriage. Just do one little thing every day. One little thing. Go out of your way. Do one thing special for your spouse every day. And I guarantee you, in 6 months, your marriage will be in a whole totally different place. Probably in 1 month. Probably in 2 weeks. But the idea is that, do we have the patience to keep doing it if we don't get the results we want? That's what we get. We're an impatient society today. And we also do what? We lack discipline. Impatience and lack discipline. So maybe those are two things we put on our goal sheet about characteristics we want to grow in ourselves: patience and discipline. Wow. Maybe that's part of our affirmation statements that we draft about ourselves, right? Draft affirmation statements. I am, right? To help us build those into, so we can build ourselves into success instead of failure. And the last thing we had in that section is a long pole in the tent. And I remember when I first researched this over a year ago, I was like, what's a long pole in the tent? It's kind of like the elephant in the room, the pole that holds up everything. It, in other words, it's the major number one obstacle in your life for you. What's holding you back? And sometimes for us, it's something unpleasant. So what do? We avoid it. But avoiding something doesn't allow it to go away. We need to look at it, stare at it, see it in our face and say, we're tackling that and we're going after it and we're going to make sure that we manage it or make it cause it to disappear. And it might be painful, and that's usually why it's the long pole in the tent. It's the one we avoid. It's too painful. It's too unpleasant. But today's the day you grab it and tackle it. If that's the one thing you take away from this call, it's a great thing to take away from this call, because it's your long pole in your tent and it's holding up everything else from ever happening in your life. It's the elephant in the room you refuse to tackle because it's too tough to tackle. So take it on. And it doesn't mean you're going to tackle it. It doesn't mean you're going to see a result today or tomorrow or a week from now. Remember the slight edge. We take it on. And we take steps. And you know what? Over a year, 2 years, it might take you 3 years to get over that pole, long pole in the tent. But whatever it does, it's going to give you success on a daily basis of making a step that much closer to overcoming it. And that's what you need to experience. All right. So laying the foundation, critical aspects of what we want to do to put ourselves in the best position to move forward in our lives as well as our Manatech business, because these are principles for you being a better person, creating better results in your life, whatever choice that is, whether it's around Manatech or anything in your life. And then we start with vision, right? We start with, and really the starting point, when I draft a piece of paper, I always put the first things first is our value system, right? Because our value system determine our vision. But we're going to talk about vision from a perspective that Simon Sinek wrote that book, Start With Why. And if you haven't read it yet, I talked about it this weekend at the training. And it's a great book because it gives you methods to start thinking correctly about your vision and your why. And, you know, he draws that, what he calls the golden circles, I believe. There are three of them. The outside one is the what, the middle one is the next one is the how, and then the interior one is the why. And people who describe their life from a what perspective really never grapple with their highest and best values. They never grapple with creating the best possible results in their life. And they're not going to be influential people. People who influence other people inspire people, and they inspire people with the why. And what is our why in Manatech? What is what causes Mary Jo to keep going every single day in Manatech? What's my why? My why has a lot of levels to it. Number one, I love contributions, my number one core value, so it's important for me to always be out there pouring into people's lives, touching people's lives, helping them transform their lives in incredible ways, whether it's financially or it's health-wise, whatever it is, we have all those abilities through Manatech, right? The other big why for me is my own personal why, which would be where I'm going, building the churches, being committed in the mission field, being committed in different organizations, my coaching clinic, doing personal coaching with people. I mean, all of that are creating incredible blessings in my life and other people's lives, and I don't ever want to end that. And to be able to have the flexibility and freedom to live my life of my choice every single day is crucial to me. So that's my big why. So we have these huge whys in our life, and we need them for ourselves. We need them for other people. And that's what Simon Sinek's book is about. And I suggest if you haven't read it, to take the time to do that maybe over the holidays and get you to be thinking correctly about, you know, your vision, your why. Because inside of each one of us, we have deep values that are part of who we are. Understanding what those are, values are who we are. They're not right or wrong. They're who we are. It's what makes you tick, What are most critical? And if you find those out and you live in those, that's where you're going to find your greatest sense of joy. That's where you're going to be the most complete as a human being. When you're living somebody else's values or somebody else told you this is who you are or this is what you are, now you're not true to yourself. So you need to determine what those are. Find those for yourself. So one of your tasks can be to kind of go sit down with a pen and paper and call your journey an aimless pursuit of reality. Start with no agenda. Just start writing a stream of consciousness about how you want life to be. What would be ideal for you? And allow your free thinking to take place. And this isn't an exercise that takes 5 minutes, people. This is something you might want to spend 3 hours, 5 hours, 2 days, a week. Let it go for a while. Come back to it. Revisit it. But it's really, really a great exercise to undertake because it allows you to start grappling with the inner you instead of being somebody else tried to make you into, how you were raised as a family, what your parents raised you to be, what's your choice of your beingness, who are you, what are your highest and most important values in your life, right? And so critical to have that because from determining your values in life, and you'll get your vision. Your vision has to be consistent with your values, otherwise you'll never reach your vision. Follow me? Some people come to me and they go, oh, Mary Jo, I want to do this or this is the most important to me. And I look at them and it's kind of awkward for me because I don't know them to be that type of person, to have that as a goal. And so I start asking, how is that inconsistent with your value system? And you start, those are some of the questions I get to ask. It's not right out of the box. I can pursue other questions that aren't quite as directed until I get there. But the idea is that the consistency must be present between your value system and your vision, or the vision will never play out. Or if it does ever play out, it's going to be emptiness. It's going to be an emptiness. You're going to hit what your vision was, and you're going to go, wow, why do I feel so, like, vulnerable? Why do I feel so unfulfilled? Because it's inconsistent with your values. So you really want to get a great concept of values. And I think we put an article in there. You can look in there. There's a list of values. You can select the most important ones to you, limit to 10. There's a great exercise I do where I draft them and put them on cards. And this usually takes about 35, 45 minutes to do this exercise where you put the values you select on cards and you number them in what are the top 5 values you have. And they're a very difficult exercise because if you have 10 different values, it's very hard to get them. But this is a very critical exercise to do to really isolate what's most important to you. And then from those, you do an exercise of dropping them to the ground one at a time and spending about 3 minutes to 5 minutes just thinking about how does that make you feel when you drop it to the ground. And then go back to the 5 and reorganize them in what truly you really now believe are your most critical values, core values. Very difficult exercise. You can do it as a group. You can do it but it's an excellent exercise to do to determine for yourself what really is most important to you. Some questions that you can ask yourself about core values is if you discover that you only had 1 year to live, how would you live? Where would you go? Who would you be with? If you won $3 million after taxes, what would you do differently? What do you enjoy so much that you would do it without pay? I remember people in Manitex saying years ago, they would say, well, I love Manitex so much I'd do it if I didn't get paid anything. And the minute the company had trouble with the Texas AG, they left the company. And I just kept thinking, wow, what does that say? What does that say? You know? It's a crazy stuff, but confusion is out there. People can say things. We can all say things that are totally inconsistent with who we are. Isn't that true? It happens. In fact, sometimes you find yourself saying something, you go, wow, where did that come from? And you have to sit back and think. And that's when you want to think before you talk so that you make sure that whatever is coming out of your mouth is reflective of who you are. The last thing I wrote on the list was, what 5 things would you like to be remembered for when you die? These are great questions, people. In fact, this outline is so massive. You could spend a month just grappling with what's the content in this outline of this call today. But they're just great things to do, and they're exercises we all should do, and we can continue journaling on these things and working through them. And maybe you participated in some of this last year when I gave a similar talk, but the idea is that maybe we need to revisit it because some things have happened. Maybe you didn't go deep enough last year. It's just always a good thing to continue to revisit those issues because we grow and we experience different things over a 12-month period of time, and now we have to look back and say, okay, let me revisit these things. And maybe they're totally consistent than what you did last year. But it's a good exercise, especially at the end of the year, because you're starting a brand new year. And then draft a to-be list. And many of you probably are familiar with the be-do-have triangle. I use it a lot in my coaching with my counseling foundation. Because a lot of people are raised like I was. My parents raised me up to do, work, so that you can have, right? You create income. Work, go to school, get a good job, don't date, You know, it was really driven to do, come home with straight A's. Everything was about doingness. It was a doingness kind of environment. And I think my parents were a little overwhelmed with four kids and just were like, threatened by the fact that we weren't going to all be totally successful, and they wanted to give us the best groundwork. And I've never had children, so I'm sure that those of you on this call who have, which are probably the majority of you, you know exactly what we're talking about. You want the best for your children, right? You want to create the best for them so that they're taken care of. You don't have any worries about them not thriving on this planet. So you really push. But the reality is that if you come from the do to have, you're going to lose everything over and over and over again because you're missing the number one core principle, which is a beingness. I look sometimes at some of the people running for office, our next presidential election, and I go, there's some beingness missing in a lot of the interplay that's happening, and it saddens my heart in a huge way. But we need to start looking at that, the beingness. What is it? What are those core to be? Because a beingness is, what are my core values? What's most important to me? What are those core basic values that are crucial to me? And I put on attached to the outline today, a list of characteristics of the great leaders of all time. So you can look at those and you know, stretch you and use some of that, maybe to draft a to-be statement for yourself. And maybe look for characteristics that you feel that are really important that maybe you've lacked. And again, this is a great time, people, to write something down and then go and visit friends, family, relatives, acquaintances. Get some feedback. Upline, downline. Get some good feedback. Feedback is terrific. And recognize this, when you ask somebody for feedback, understand that feedback is not truth. It is just exactly what we call it, feedback. They're giving you their opinion of XYZ. But underlying their opinion is a concept of, wow, how am I showing up? When I got the feedback arc that I did in my advanced training with Clemmer, it was amazing to me that people were giving me feedback. They had no idea who I was. They're relatively new in my life. All we'd done is done a couple of exercises together, and here's some feedback I was getting. And you know what? I was coming across exactly how I wouldn't ever want people to think of me. And I thought, how are they? And I even went to one of the facilitators. I said, "How? These guys are my attack team. They're not a support team. Look what they said to me, blah, blah." And they were laughing because these people, some of the facilitators knew me. And they looked at me and they go, "Mary Jo, it's feedback." And I said, "Okay." And they go, they had to make it clear to me. I wasn't even clear about what I was getting. Obviously, as a lawyer, I wasn't real excited about ever getting feedback in my life. I always wanted to be right. I wanted to be respected and honored, and I was going to eat you alive if you disagreed with me, right? I mean, that's kind of lawyering. So here I was getting this feedback arc, and I looked at these, what was happening is they weren't condemning me as a person and my personality. They were just saying, my experience of you is this. In other words, How do I change people's experience of me? I shift. It doesn't mean that's the person I am. It just means that's how I'm coming across in a conversation, in a group, in a team meeting. I'm coming across XYZ when I know I'm ABC, but it's not the way I'm communicating, whether it's through my eyes, my facial expressions, my words. I'm saying I needed to shift. And you're never going to find that out unless you get feedback. You're going to keep believing your own stuff. Hey, this is who I am. I'm a good person. I love other people. I'm about contribution, blah, blah, blah. And then somebody says, Mary Jo, here's my feedback. You're selfish. You're self-centered. You have a tad of arrogance. I mean, when you hear that as feedback, you go, wow, that's not who I am. It may not be who you are, but it's how you're presenting yourself. And now who do you work on? You. And thank goodness that's the one person in the world you can change is you. Right? So get feedback on all that stuff so that you make sure that you have a direction and where to go. Because if you don't get feedback, you're going to keep doing what you've always been doing. And that's what I tell people too. I said, you know what? This business is so awesome. It works for everybody. But if you keep doing everything you've been doing, you're going to keep creating the same results. So why not go out and get some great feedback? Go back to some of the people who said no to you and say, could you give me some feedback? Why not? You have nothing to lose. Find out why somebody said no to you. Say, is there anything I could have done differently? What did you see in me or what did you see not see in me that would have perhaps made a difference in your decision? Find out. Why is that we're afraid of feedback? Because we take it personal as if it's us. It's not you, it's feedback. And feedback is invaluable in you being the best you can be. And then the last thing we have on the list is my annual review, MJH annual review. And it's a great piece. I do it every year. I tell people it's one of my most influential things in my life, in my Manatech career. There are many of those things. But I remember at the end of every single year I've been in Manatech, always, from year one, I sat down and I made a list of all the activities I did the prior year. And then what am I willing to do or what am I going to be doing differently the next year? And it's my annual review. I gave you a copy of it. I actually filled in this year. I gave you about 10 line items that come right off of mine. So you're going to see that what I did last year versus what I'm committed to creating this year and give you some ideas of how that looks on a sheet of paper. So you just need to take that form and do it for yourself. And I used to just take a yellow legal pad, draw a line down the middle, and on the left side write activities 2000, whatever that year was, and propose for 2006, the next year. And I would just start making a list of activities, what I'm willing to do, not willing to do, how I'm going to be different. And so you can look at what I put there as a list, but do it for yourself. It's a great way to create change and effectively move forward in your business. Because some things worked, so you're going to continue them. Other things didn't work, so how can I make them work better? Because if you don't do the evaluation, you're going to just keep doing the things you've always been doing because you're just on this stream of consciousness. Stop it. Now's the time. December is the time to stop and take a serious look at what's working, what's not working, and how can I be different. And again, get the feedback you need to create better results, right? It's so, evaluation is so critical. And also, what do we need to get rid of out of our life? There are a lot of things that are taking up time and energy in our life that aren't of value. I quit subscribing to a newspaper last year. I quit doing Sudoku puzzles, in my spare. I used to pick up a Sudoku book and just start doing puzzles because it kept my brain active and I loved it. It was a challenge to my mental state. But you know what? What does that do for me as a person? Not much. Why don't I pick up a good book to read, like Simon Sinek's book or the thousands of books I have in my library? That's what I want to feed my brain with, something that's going to grow me as a person. Sudoku doesn't grow me as a person. So I changed. So it just, those are the choices, because we fall into bad habits, don't we? If all of us could raise our hand, how many of us have fallen into a bad habit in the last 12 months? Yes. They just happen in our life because they give us a release. So it's time to get rid of the bad habits, go back to what we know works, what's effective in this business, and make it work. And one of the things I put in the outline, just quickly I'll review, is the understanding the law of vibration. And I think it's fascinating. I don't know if any one of you have probably plenty of you have gone out there and researched this and understood it, but everything that exists, the law of vibration is, you know, and we've talked about law of attraction and other laws in our universe, but the law of vibration is a concept from a scientific perspective that everything that exists, both seen and unseen, emits a vibrational resonance. And how do we know that? Because everything that's out there, even a piece of paper, if you look under an electron microscope, you're going to see it's made up of molecules, and molecules have atoms, right? And our atoms, the paper has atoms, in atoms are molecules, they're protons and electrons, and the protons at the center and electrons orbit around the proton. So there's constant vibration being given off by everything that exists on Earth. It's a constant vibration. Constant. And you go, how does this piece of paper vibrate? It is because I like the concept of everything's green and growing or ripe and rotting. It's everything's in motion in some way, shape, or form, and that's part of the law of vibration, that we're sending out these vibrations. And we do as people, we send out lots of vibrations. So it's a concept of being aware of what vibrations that we're sending out instead of being unconscious to it. They did a study. They took a mother rabbit into a submarine, and one of its babies was kept in a laboratory thousands of miles away. The mother rabbit was hooked up to sophisticated equipment that measured brain waves. The brain waves, the rate of vibration measured in hertz, to determine her reaction to the experiment. The scientists in the laboratory then killed the baby rabbit and observed the brain waves, which went absolutely haywire at precisely the same time, even though they were thousands of miles apart. You ever read stories about people that, you know, or maybe this has happened in your life, or something happened in your life, distance, very far apart, and in that moment, you felt this almost like this surge of energy or this sadness overcame you. And it was at the same moment that something happened elsewhere in the world. That's the law of vibration, the law of vibration. And it's saying every individual, we're an integral part of the whole, but everything is basically everything. I mean, we're all part of this harmonious vibration that occurs in our life. So we want to make it harmonious, right? We want our day in and day out existence. So it's about how we operate. How do we start operating from a position to become more purposeful and conscious in creating our life, enabling us to experience what really is creating that harmony in our own life because of vibrations that we're sending out. And so it's a really cool concept to understand that we are living, breathing vibrations that are emitting vibrations every single moment of our life. We don't have to open our mouths and we're emitting vibrations. So it's our choice. It chooses to become aware of the law of vibration and its ability to dramatically improve our lives. You know, how do I align and harmonize my thoughts, my feelings, my actions so I can have this limitless creative potential? And that's, again, the alignment. Am I true to my thoughts? Am I true to my feelings? And then do they align with my actions? When I create inconsistency, what am I doing with my vibrations? You follow what you're sending out, your signals that you're sending out? So cool concept. So if you're familiar with the law of vibration, and if you're not, go look it up and read about it. And it's fascinating, and it is got a tremendous validity behind it. It's because we're made up of molecules. Molecules are operating all the time. So we send out energy. We're all fields of energy, and it's about are they in alignment with our goals, our values, and are we sending out that message? Because that's how people read us without even us opening our mouths. It's not just posture, but it's the vibrations that we're sending out to people. And that comes through our eyes, it comes through our, you know, our emotions, our physique, how we're handling all that. We send out these vibrations. Okay, people, I'll let you go. We're done. It's after, way past 11. Anyway, design your life by choice and commitment, not by chance and circumstance. That's the bottom line. We have a lot to accomplish. Next week, we're going to take the next step. But if you don't do this work step by step, you have 7 days to do the work I outlined today. If you don't take the time to do it, next Monday, you're going to be a week behind. And it's all such incredibly critical work. I do it every year. I'm just telling you, it's incredibly critical work to create the best possible results for you in 2016. So start today. Okay, everybody, love you all. Have a great week, and we'll talk next Monday.